You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So living a Christ-centered life in schools involves integrating Christian values and principles into daily activities, relationships, and decision-making. And today we want to unpack how Christian boys navigate a Christ-centered lives in their schools. And we do understand that some schools, they've actually taken away, you know, Christianity. So maybe I'm hoping my elder will also be able to touch on that. We are joined on the line by my elder Arthur Mbawe, who's joining us all the way from Zambia. My elder, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks. I'm fine. How are you?
We are good, my elder. Thank you so much for coming through to speaking to us. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Shall we pray? Our Father and great Jehovah in heaven, we want to thank you for the blessings of the morning. Thank you for providing for us thus far. Even as we continue to do what is required of us today, may your presence be before us. We commit the entire discussion into thy holy hands, that may the presence of the Lord through the presence of the Holy Spirit be our able guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, speaking about all things, you know, Christianity and schools and our boys, you know, living a Christ-centered life. So how can they actively incorporate Christian values into their interactions with classmates and teachers at school?
Well, thanks a lot. That's a good question. Schools being what they are is a meeting place of so many kinds of people, all right? And that we are talking about a Christian boy or a Christian young man, and how then can they integrate their Christian values? First of all, I think it's important that we understand what Christian values are, you know? A value being a principle that one takes as important in one's life. So when we talk about Christian values, we are talking about things like respect, self-control, honesty, faith in God, you know, love, forgiveness, reconciliation, forgiveness, perseverance, and many more. Now, the question, how then can boys actively incorporate these values in their interactions with the classmates? Well, my take is that navigating a Christ-life-centered life as a Christian boy involves consciously integrating one's faith in all aspects of daily life at school. Because then these aspects are the ones that portray who you are, all right, and what you believe in. So even as you are interacting with classmates and teachers, the boys can actively incorporate these values, you know, by practicing these same values: kindness where it is required, forgiveness where it is required, understanding and tolerance where it is required, you know, love for everybody, a respect for all. These are very, very important, you know, as a source of encouragement and positivity. These boys or young men can be an oasis of help and hope to others. Yes.
And you know, Pundis, when you touched on the issue of respect, I think it's quite important, and also, you know, having these principles. So this past last week, for example, here in South Africa, in one of the towns, in fact, it's very close to where we are, a 13-year-old, my elder, shot a principal at school, you know, and it became an issue. Like, number one, where did he get the gun? Number two, where does he get the guts, you know, the courage, my elder, to pull out a gun in front of an elder and shot? Luckily, the principal did not die, but he's in hospital. But it was just so shocking that a 13-year-old, this is primary school, you know, so which reemphasizes how we need these principles to be taught to our children, you know, to be re-emphasized in our children, because wow, it's a lot, it's a lot. So how can now they intentionally demonstrate, you know, this Christ-like love, compassion in their daily interactions with others at school? Because I believe if they have love and they have compassion, it would move away from wanting to shoot a person now, you know, because you love exactly. that person. Yeah,
exactly. You see, a human being is, and we are talking about somebody that has got a Christianity as a faith. Mm-hmm. Now, these values, it becomes important that these values must be interwoven in the boy's or young man's DNA, you know, and freely flow in his daily interaction. Because somebody whose DNA is mixed with the Christian values cannot do such a heinous thing, you know, just to harm somebody, disrespect, and so on. All right. Mm. Now, given that a human being is a social being, this truth cannot even be underestimated. Mm. You know. What is important is that the boys need to share their faith, mm-hmm. you know, in trying to demonstrate the Christ-like love and mm-hmm. compassion, mm-hmm. you know. Share your faith, share what you have, offer assistance to others, you know. Be a point of encouragement to the weak. Learn from the life of Christ, who was always a point of help to others, you know. And once these Christian values become a lifestyle, then you're going to be a positive influence to the rest.
Yeah, Nim. So looking at their challenges that are there, you know, so how do they now our boys approach the academic challenges with commitment to integrity, honesty, and excellence in alignment with Christian values? Because you'll be writing a test and that test will be showing you flames, my elder. You'll even be sweating, exactly. you know. And then someone exactly. is like, here's this paper, you can copy here. How then do they navigate such situations?
You know, excellent question. The children, young men, boys even, go to school for purposes of mental growth. That's the purpose of academics. Mm. You know, academics lead to mental growth as core. And then the other things come to flow. Now, the issue of integrity, commitment to integrity is very important, because what will happen is when you have a tendency of having to copy, all right, like you pointed out, others will even plagiarize, okay, all right, some work that then you don't even respect the intellectual property to others. Now, how can honesty and excellence be achieved? All right. By studying diligently, I want to believe, all right? Remember, when you pray, you commit everything to the Lord to begin with. You study diligently. You are engaging honestly in the assessments, you know, no shortcuts, okay? Mm-hmm. Respecting the intellectual property that I spoke about. You're not going to take somebody's works and then, you know, paste and use them. You are choosing who you bring in your inner circle. Now, here is the issue. When you acclimatize with people that are used to cheating, you are going to cheat. Okay? You're going to find yourself cheating. Now, it's very, very important to know who you choose. Also, you should be cautious how you use social media. Because social media has two paradigms, good and bad. All right? So for me, how can boys approach academic challenges with a commitment to integrity, honesty, and excellence in alignment with the Christian beliefs? You start with God.
Yeah.
You're right. You start with God. And then everything that you're going to do, you're going to do that honestly and faithfully, putting in your equal hard work so that the truth comes out of your academics. I have seen from my practice, the kind of practice that I do. You find this person is a graduate, even they'll come for attachment. You know, you ask them basic questions, basic, like basic things that are probably taught in the first year university or college. They fail to perform. Then you ask yourself, but how did this person manage to get this far? You know, then you ask all those questions, you know. But then when a person starts with the Lord, they apply themselves fully and they know that they need to be honest about it. Well, the results will show and the performance in the field of practice is going to show.
So my elder, there are, more especially when it comes to young boys, I think that, you know, when they're in school, they experience a lot, not more than girls, but yeah, it's a lot. The issues of peer pressure, you know, some, depending on where they are, yes, there are those that are privileged more than others where they can have your mood. You're working study nights, you know, at a friend's house, sleepovers and stuff, while others, they don't have that. But even when they're at school, there are certain groups that are there within the school, you know. I remember growing up, there was a particular corner. We know that this corner is for this type of boys, you know. So pass there at your own peril. if you're brave, you can pass. This is school hours, you know. So, and we would know, you know, at the back of the school, towards a particular tree, that is where you'd find those who smoke. You know what? They're smoking. We know it's a lot, but you'd find them there. So how does now, here's this young boy going into that school, how do they now navigate the issues of peer pressure? Because some are even bullied into joining these particular groups, you know. So how do our young boys now navigate that while they uphold their Christian values?
You know, peer pressure is a real issue, and it's not something that is small, you know, and it has so many paradigms. There's good peer pressure and there's bad peer pressure. I want to think that if we concentrate addressing the issue of bad peer pressure, it will help us. All right, how do they navigate a peer pressure in school while maintaining the Christian convictions? Now, peer pressure, of course, is influence. Somebody is influencing you to do something that is off your pack of beliefs or values in this case. All right? Now, the influence that comes out of there will have so many dimensions. But we want to address the issues of the dangers of negative pressure. Because negative peer pressure or influence has negative results. Now, the word of the Lord there's two passages that I would like us to read, just short passages.
Yes, please.
One is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. Now, the second one is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, meaning that there are two categories of people. There is the wise and the fools. But then we need to make what? Choices. All right? When navigating peer pressure, upholding Christian convictions requires strength and discernment. That's the way I look at it. You should be able to have a very good sense of judgment. All right? And you should be able to remain grounded on the anchors of your faith as a boy or young man. Because once these anchors are swept off, then you drift like a reed in the water, just floating. Anyone who tells you anything, no, let's go and smoke something so that you enhance your ability to understand things and so on, and what and so on, you're just going to drift like that. But when your anchors are firm, you're going to do yourself a favor. The other one is surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals for support and standing firm. You know, we need to, the young men, the boys need to find people that resonate with their belief pack. All right? We started with Christian values.
Yep.
Very important. Okay, so those values should continue being beams of light, like coordinates plotted along the way in the journey of the student. All right? And then also, my take is that you need these children or the boys and the young men need to build strong friendships based on shared Christian values. Because then what happens then is that those friends that are around you become a help to mitigate the negative impact of peer pressure. You know? The social activities that they involve themselves. Very, very important. You know? So peer pressure being what it is has seen a lot of negative results.
Yeah.
Children that will come from good homes will end up in wrong groups. Why? Because they have thrown away the anchors of their faith. And that is very deadly. You know?
Yeah.
I just a quick one, sis.
Yes.
You know, I have witnessed children that are coming from Christian homes, you know, they go to church, they've been growing up well, full of hope. But the moment they go to secondary school, maybe boarding school, maybe tertiary, they start to meet groups of people there, then the anchors are thrown off. Now, we need, as you know, the young men and young boys cannot do this alone. They need parental help, you know, parental emphasis on why it is important to remain anchored on the faith beliefs that you have. Because remember, the companion of a fool becomes what? Becomes a fool. And he who makes companion with the wise becomes what? Wise. That's what the word has exposed us to.
And Elder, you mentioned being, in my own words, being grounded and rooted right in these principles. I want to bring it up as we wrap up. You know, the role that us as parents we play in making sure that our boy children, you know, they don't waver when they are faced with these situations, when they are faced with this peer pressure, like they stay, they stick to what they have been taught. What role do we now as parents play? Because, for example, in schools, there is a huge concern that as parents we have relegated the parenting to teachers, right? We don't even teach our children anything at home. Issues of respect and all of those things, we don't teach them at home, but we're expecting what the teachers to do that. So what role now do we as parents have in terms of teaching our children, hey, Lalela, this is how you respect, you must respect your elders, you know, this is how you must treat people with humility, this is, and. What role do we now play? Are we relegated to the church, to their Pathfinder clubs?
You know, excellent question. You know, I belong to the old school where when the headmaster is coming, you know, you're walking in the corridor and the headmaster is coming like 30 meters away from where you are, you jump off the corridor. You make sure that you're nowhere near the corridor. Okay, the headmaster is coming. Now, when a parent has a headmaster, I'll call it a headmaster pupil old school kind of relationship, then you've lost it. All right? A parent to begin with should be friends with the children from their young age. You know, they should have the trust, they should have the confidence, you know, they should have the dependency so that they can be able to relate. Children should not run away from a parent or should not hold back issues from a parent. The moment they do that, they'll find answers from somewhere else. All right? Now, in order for the help to come, there's got to be a conducive environment. An environment of love. Not an environment of chastising.
Yeah.
Yeah, useless. Yeah, you know what? No. Hold a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read, I like the writer, Dr. Dale Carnegie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you read his books, he's a philosopher. It's excellent admonition in there.
Mm-hmm.
How to make friends and, you know, and influence people and so on. You got to approach children with love.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They should, when they look at you, they should see a loving individual.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, they are growing. All right. Once the child has a perception of, this is my enemy, whatever you try to tell them is just like hitting a rock. Pitch, 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 pitch. But when you, with love, look at the way Jesus exemplified his teaching to us. Despite of our stubbornness as a people, he came down with love and resonated with us at our level. All right. To inculcate the values, the principles, the ethics that are required for us to grow as Christians. So now, the question you've asked, what's our role? Our role definitely is to educate and teach from the young age. And as they are growing, you're exposing. Now, okay, now you're finished secondary school. Now you're going to college. All right? And what you expect at college is this. Expose them. They should know. Don't let them go and find out and discover things. No. Preempt the situation that obtains there. You know? Expose them. Once they're exposed, this kind of a group is a group that daddy, mommy was telling me, or auntie and uncle were telling me, no, big brother was telling me not to involve myself in. You know? So for me, it's not a small role, but it should start from a relationship that is conducive. What is the environment in the home? All right? You know, I read just a quick one. I dug deep to understand what sort of a person Nebuchadnezzar was. You know, when I read in the word that, you know, he did this statue in the plain of Dura, and everybody at his command laid down and so on. I wanted to find out what kind of man. So when I dug deep into the Jewish encyclopedia, I found out that he was a rough man. You couldn't laugh in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, no ways. You are not going to be spared. How can you laugh? You know, he was. Now, so when you have a macho, centurion kind of attitude in the home, then just know that you're losing your children. It doesn't matter what you say, it won't work. It will not work.
Yep. Hey. My elder, I'm going to ask you to pray for our boy children. Number one, because of the incidents we have seen in the past regarding our boy children in schools, the latest one is the one of the gun, but we know of other violences, that they may be respectful, you know, and go to school to learn and everything else. And for us as parents to take our role of parenting these children, of teaching them all the things that they need to know. And I believe that no parent would teach their child bad things. So all the things that we need to be taught so that we may teach our children. I'm going to ask my elder, can you please pray?
Shall we pray? Our Father in great Jehovah in heaven, you created man in the Garden of Eden, and you allowed for us to procreate. These fruits of love that you gave to us as parents, our children, have now found themselves in this place in life, the current times that are dangerous times, where they're exposed to so many things they're exposed to, social media, friends they interact with, and so on, such that it has become a challenge how to navigate their lives on earth. Our humble prayer, Heavenly Father, is that may you teach us as parents to know how we are going to help the young ones, so that even as they grow, we as parents continue to teach them values, principles that are godly. That from the home we create an environment that is loving, that is God-fearing, that respects life even. We want to ask Heavenly Father that even as the young children are growing, just like you exposed to us in Psalms chapter 119, verse 9, asking a question, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? And you pointed out that it is through the word. So teach us, Lord, to help our young people to read the word, learn lessons from the Bible, because then their faith is going to be anchored on the truth. We want to commit Heavenly Father, all the parents listening and those that shall listen later, that Lord, may you humble us, even as given us this role of parenting. That Lord, we should not be lords over these children, but that with love, we can be friends with them as we also are anchored on your word and teach the young ones how to grow. And even as the young ones are also growing, Heavenly Father, open their hearts, open their minds to embrace the values and principles that they are being taught. We want to pray for the teachers out there at school. Bless them. Even as they impart the knowledge, be with them. We ask all these in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, thank you so much for coming through. I pray and hope that the parents were listening. I know the boy children might be at school, but the parents were listening and they will take from what we have taught them. Help yourself a blessed day, my elder.
Thank you very much. Blessed day too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.